Now we have those types of churches that we see today who pervert, dismiss, twist, or omit the word. You can come to church and never be convicted. They're told to preach the word, be ready in season, not to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. And that never happens. There's a little ditty of verses here and there, a little sprinkle here and there.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a message from Asai from New York. He called to let us know that today's message was a wonderful message. Praise God. Thank you for being a blessing to me. Well, Asai, you are so welcome, and God's word is such a blessing to us, and it's such a blessing to be able to share it. And so I praise him that it was a blessing to you.
Greg, today we continue our look at recognizing false teachers. And as we begin, I wonder if there's a potential that we could become preoccupied with finding them rather than developing our own spiritual lives.
Dave, you raise a great point. We want to be really careful that we don't become over-infatuated with spotting false teachers. What we simply need to do is take the warnings from the Word of God in their right context and then focus on Christ. You see, God wants to protect us from these bad guys. And by the way, what we'll see in our passage today is that God warns us through his word. He shows us what they look like. And then in contrast, he'll show us what a true disciple looks like so that we can spot the counterfeiters. Our text today is Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
There were those back at this time who would say that you need to be circumcised, whatever it might be if you're men, but they would not only physically devastate, they would spiritually devastate. Now you say, that's not a danger to the Philippians, right? Because they've already been saved. Well, the reality is, although they brought a false gospel, they also brought a threat to one's sanctification, you see? Because God uses his word to bring us into the kingdom. He reveals the truth about Jesus Christ. We are born again through the living and abiding word of God. And then he uses it to grow us in respect to salvation. And when people twist that, lessen that, or manipulate the word, it is a threat to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the most important thing there is our walk with Jesus Christ. And therefore, this is the most important thing to be warned about. And Paul says, it is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. Rejoice in the Lord, and for me to warn you, it's no big deal. But it's a safeguard for you. You see, we have the same threats right now, just repackaged. We don't have former Jews walking around telling us we need to get circumcised, whatever that might be, or do those things. Well, there are some messianic churches that are not good. I'll tell you right now, they fall into this. They say, yes, we follow Jesus Christ, but then they add all the works of the law. Get away from them, as we're going to see. But there's other things that we are in danger of. Turn to Colossians chapter 2 for a moment, Colossians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I want to read something that the Apostle Paul shared with the Ephesian elders. This is in Acts chapter. Actually, I want to keep your finger in Colossians, but also turn to Acts chapter 20. I want to share this passage. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And the Apostle Paul is sharing his last words with the Ephesian elders, the leaders of the Ephesian church. And he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves," that's the leadership there probably, "men will arise speaking perverse things." And the reason why? "To draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." The Apostle Paul warned them over and over about it. And yet for us, we don't have maybe these Judaizers. What are the things we need to watch out for? Well, the scripture is just as applicable to us today as it was back then. And back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him." You see, we received Christ Jesus by faith. We didn't receive him. We didn't do anything to get saved. We did nothing by works. It was nothing. And as the same way we walk in Jesus Christ, we rely on him with the same faith we had when we got saved. We trust in him. We believe his word. That's how we walk with him. And false guys will come in and twist that and cause you to do stuff. They'll flip the cart before the horse rather than Christ doing things in you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to see that it's the word of God that builds us up, that keeps us protected from these things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, that's the body of Christ, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's what God is doing. Until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure, the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine or teaching, you could say, but by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. There are bad people out there who craft their words in such a way to deceitfully manipulate the body of Christ, ultimately to pull them away from trusting and walking with Christ, allowing his word to work in them. That's ultimately what we're going to see. The same way they would twist about salvation, they twist in terms of sanctification. The Apostle Paul was dealing with this with the Galatian church. They were believers. And he says to them in Galatians chapter 3, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or hearing with faith?" It was by hearing with faith, right? "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh?" That's the danger. People coming in to tell you how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, how to do church, how to have a relationship with him apart from how he ordains that we have a relationship, which is by his word through his Spirit changing my heart and enabling me to be different and to do what he has and has called me to do. Now the dangers today are obvious. There's nothing new under the sun. We have the obvious cults, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, where salvation is clearly by works. That's false gospel. But there are those who have a subtle, deadly shade that add things in. They say salvation is from Christ, but you need to be water baptized to be saved. Salvation from Christ, but you need to partake of the sacraments. Salvation is Christ, but you need to keep the Sabbath, or so on and so forth. They'll add those things in. Or even more subtle, we will have systems of sanctification. Follow this prayer, like the prayer of Jabez. Follow that, and you'll be more godly. Be part of this group or this purpose. Know your purposes. This will help you. Rather than obedience to Christ, as you have received him, so walk in him. God uses his word to make us like Christ, and we grow by his word. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth." It's God's word that he uses to change my rotten mind, to renew it, to make it think right. And we see threats today, people who dismiss or twist the word. Turn to 2 Peter. And we went through 2 Peter a couple months ago, maybe about 6 months ago. But I want to just share a few little pieces here from 2 Peter. Because the bad guys are sneaky. And they're fake, as we'll see, and they're false. But they portray themselves to be just like those who are following the Lord. And we need to be built up in the word and protected so that we don't become vulnerable or get caught up in that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "But false prophets also arose among the people," that's speaking of in the Old Testament, "just as there will also be false teachers among you," that's in the church, "who will" what? "Secretly introduce destructive heresies." It's not blatant, it's secret. "Even to the point," as you could say in the Greek, "of denying the master who bought them, bringing strict destruction upon themselves." And look at this, this is sad. "And many will follow their sensuality," that's just their fleshiness, "and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words." Paul says, beware. These are the dangers that we have these days. Later on, a little farther in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the very end, it talks about, in the end of verse 16, which the untaught and unstable distort, speaking of Paul's letters, as they do the rest of the scriptures. They distort and twist the word so that you're not completely depending on Christ, but you're following a system or whatever it might be, or a person, rather than Jesus Christ, rather than Him. Now we have those types of churches that we see today who pervert, dismiss, twist, or omit the word. You can come to church and never be convicted. They're told to preach the word, be ready in season. Now it says reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. And that never happens. There's a little ditty of verses here and there, a little sprinkle here and there. And you feel good as you walk out, but you're the same spiritually before you walked in. Maybe even worse. There's nothing new under the sun. There's the type of churches that will elevate your feelings and experience, dreams, bogus prophecy above the Word of God. Bad guys. We see the equally dangerous person in the evangelical church who will knowingly or unknowingly, I believe it's knowingly, attack the process of sanctification by not preaching the Word or watering it down, leaving the sheep as prey to the enemy. One last passage here I want to share. Well, actually two. Turn to Ezekiel 34. In the middle of your Bibles, basically. Ezekiel 34. I'm going to read portions of this. You can read the whole part later, but I want to read starting in verse 2. Thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Shouldn't shepherds be feeding the flock? I mean, that's the obvious reality, right? Ezekiel 34, verse 2. And then look down in verse 8. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become prey. My flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. My shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather my shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Shouldn't the pilots be flying the plane? Shouldn't the police be getting the bad guys? Shouldn't shepherds be feeding the flock? Shouldn't spiritual shepherds be feeding you the word of God? The bad guys don't do that. They make it seem like it. Like we see in the book of 2 Peter, there are clouds without water. Just like you see the storm coming, you know, it's going to rain. And then it comes by and it doesn't rain. You think you're going to be fed the word of God. You think you're going to grow in Jesus Christ and you don't get it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. These are Paul's last words to Timothy, a young pastor, godly man who's been faithful in the word. We saw him a couple weeks ago in Philippians. 2 Timothy chapter 4, after declaring the absolute sufficiency of the Word of God for everything, for every good work. He says here, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. I think it's out of season right now, folks, right? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to be able to sit here. They won't be able to hear the word of God. They can't endure it. But notice what it says. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths or stories. We see that today. But I don't see much concern in churches these days for the movie clip story telling preachers who omit the word of God. I don't see much concern. You know, there is something much more devious behind a pastor who doesn't preach the word, a pastor who is asleep at the switch, who is not doing his duty before the Lord. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's some examples. You're going to get some examples of some teaching that was bad at that day and what pastors are to do. 1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Spirit explicitly says in latter times, some will fall away from the faith. Paying attention to what? Deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage, that was one of their false things. Hey, if you don't get married, you're more spiritual. That was a... And advocate abstaining from foods. You better not eat this food because that's not good for you. That's not, well, not good for you, so it's not holy. You shouldn't eat that. You'll be more godly if you eat this way. Which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Got bad people saying, hey, you ought to eat this way and that'll make you more spiritual, right? Little examples, right? Doctrines of demons. He says, for it is sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer. And then notice this is the part I want you to see. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of the sound doctrine which you've been following. Point out the bad doctrine, Timothy, be a good servant of Jesus, right? Protect the flock. And the Apostle Paul was like that. He was faithful. He says, it's no problem for me to warn you. It's no problem at all. It's no problem at all. It's a safeguard for you. So with that in mind, how are we to keep ourselves from being ensnared from false teaching? First of all, we need the right attitude. We need to be rejoicing in what Christ has done for us. Secondly, we need to heed the warnings. They are for our benefit. And there are a lot of warnings, as we'll see in Scripture. And now the Apostle Paul is going to get specific now and give us very specific warnings of things for us to beware here. And within this, we need to diligently look out for these things because of the great danger they pose. Look at verse 2 back in Philippians 3. He says, beware the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Three bewares and their commands, present imperative, constantly beware. The term means to be constantly observing with the idea of avoiding. You know, have you ever been warned about something? Watch out, you'll cut your finger. You know, you're okay, I'll be careful, right? Whatever it is, right? You're aware of that. Someone's warned you. You're constantly looking so that you don't do what you're being warned about, right? Three bewares. Be constantly observing with a view of avoiding. And why? Why should you be avoiding these false bad guys and their teaching? Because first of all, they're dangerous. Notice the first one. Beware of the dogs. Sounds like your introduction to your postal job, right? No, it isn't. What does he mean by this? Beware of the dogs. Well, there were two words in Scripture for dogs, basically. They're cognates of one another. The first one was what Jesus shared with the Syrophoenician woman about the dogs that get the crumbs from the table. Household pet, nice dog, you know, in a sense. And then there were the mangy, often rabid scavengers roaming the streets. And that was this word. They're vicious, half-starved. They're dangerous. And he is associating these false teachers with the metaphor of these dangerous, half-starved scavengers who are out to get you. In a sense, he says, beware the dogs. And in an interesting twist, the Jews who didn't know Jesus, they would see Gentiles and their racial bias as dogs. They would call them that. And Paul says, beware the dogs, most likely these Judaizers, these ones who take the word of God and twist it. Beware the dogs. They're dangerous. False teaching is dangerous. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? He said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but are inwardly ravenous wolves. They come to you with shepherd's clothing on like a pastor, and inwardly on the inside you can't see that. They are like ravenous wolves. He says you'll know them by their fruits. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. They're dangerous. Dangerous people. He's speaking of false apostles here, faux apostles. 2 Corinthians 11:13. He says, for such men are false apostles, pseudo-apostles, that's the word, pseudo-apostolos, deceitful workers or workers of deceit. And look at this, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. Folks, they're fake. They're false. They disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. They creep in unnoticed. Jude, verse 4, he says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. It's like a terrible, yucky bug or something, you know? They're imposters. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad. They claim to follow Jesus Christ. They are imposters, and you can know them by their fruits. They're disobedient to the word of God. They're disobedient. And they don't point you to dependence on Christ. They point you to dependence on other things. They point you to your feelings. They point you to yourself, to your felt needs, rather than Jesus Christ. Beware. Look for the fruit. Again, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing or shepherd's garb. They portray themselves to be shepherds. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. And later on, he gives an example of the fruit. Those who would say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we perform many miracles? Didn't we do all this ministry? And the Lord Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. They're still in their sins. The fruit of false teachers is they're not convicted over their sin. And therefore, they're either not truly saved because they never truly trusted in Christ, because they never really saw themselves as sinner they really are, or they got saved and they never got convicted and grew in Jesus Christ. We're not to be deceived. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said, beware of the false prophets. Paul warned the Ephesian elders. We read that earlier. Paul warned in Romans 16, Galatians 1, Galatians 3, 2 Corinthians 11, we read that. Philippians 3, we're looking at that now. Colossians 2, Titus 1, 1 and 2 Timothy, 2nd and 3rd chapters of 2 Peter. We're warned by Jude. There are false foe people out there, and it's dangerous. On a side note, why would God allow the bad guys to enter the church? Why would he allow that? Why would a good, gracious, loving God allow people to come in who would be false? Why would he do that? Well, we're not God, so we don't understand his ways. His ways are not our ways, right? But we do have some insight into that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 13. We have some insight. This is an Old Testament context in terms of the covenant that God had made with Israel, but there's some principles that we can gather from here that are helpful for us. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you, notice how it arises. They just all of a sudden come up, right? We saw that with false teachers and prophets, you know, in the New Testament. Rises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder. Remember, God was working in many different ways through many different means in the Old Testament, right? Right now, we're in the New Testament where he speaks through his son. But he did many different things. There were all kinds of different ways that God worked through his prophets. There were miraculous things that happened. But the false guys would do things too, you see? And notice what it says here. He says, and the sign and wonder, verse 2, comes true. Hey, it actually came true. Concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the word of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Test.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, why should we who've already been saved be so worried about false teachers who twist and mutilate the gospel?
Well, first of all, Dave, if God is concerned about it, we need to be concerned about it. Secondly, the wickedness of false teachers never stops at the gospel. You see, false teachers also infiltrate true churches, and they not only mess with justification, that's what happens when we believe in Jesus Christ, but they mess with our sanctification. You see, we were saved by faith in Christ as revealed in the true gospel, and we are sanctified and made like Christ through faith in him via his word. And there are bad men who attack the sufficiency of God's word. They add to it or they subtract from it. They twist God's word or even eliminate it. All with the same result that God's people are not convicted of their sin. They're allowed to stay in it and they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And we have the fruit of false teachers throughout churches. We have make believers who think they're saved but are really not, and we have believers who are not grounded in the Word but tossed to and fro. Now, we'll talk more about this important subject in our next broadcast, and I hope and pray you'll make plans to join us then.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.